It would be a strange child she would give them as a gift for Christmas, one of those jigsaw puzzles that has hundreds of pieces, child of 8 years old, say, and that kid would take just a piece or two of that puzzle, which you're supposed to put together, and it makes this beautiful image, and it would just take a piece or two and just go off on his own and just study the little piece and learn every little color on it and just be completely enamored with these couple little pieces. Be like, yeah, those are really cool, those pieces that you have, but they make a lot more sense and they're even a lot more beautiful if you come and you put them together with the other pieces to see what it's supposed to make here. But no, he's just interested in just these couple little pieces, just in their beauty, enamored by them. Not interested at all in the image that it's supposed to be a part of. We're that strange child. Our age is one in which we no longer seek as a people after wisdom. Wisdom, which is seeing the whole picture. It's seeing things as they truly are. It's seeing truth. But instead, because over largely the last 150 years, that search for wisdom, search for truth, has largely been abandoned. Because we're told, well, it's not possible to find that. You can look, but you're just wasting your time. It is an age, as Pope Emeritus Benedict had said, in which it's a dictatorship of relativism. In which, yeah, there are little pieces of truth, but to try and think that they come in and make a bigger picture, that's absurd. So instead, we have a lot of little pieces. We have a lot of knowledge and a lot of other pieces which are distractions. And so you have a lot of these pieces is knowledge in which, yeah, you learn a whole lot and you look at the beauty of that little piece. But what does it actually mean when it's connected to something bigger? We fill our lives with distraction. Distractions, distractions, distractions. Entertainment, sports, social media, which knowledge and distractions aren't bad in themselves when they're in their proper place. And when they're understood as something that's meant to be a part of something much bigger. But actually seeking after wisdom, wanting to see what the bigger picture is, to see everything in its proper place. They say that those who aren't wise do not know how to live well. We hear in the gospel today of these three wise men. They're magi. They're these men from Persia. They're pagans. But they were scientists, or more properly, they're philosophers. You know, philosophy, that thing that someone goes and studies in college, but they never want to get a practical job, right? What are you going to do with that degree? Philosophy, the love of wisdom. The seeking after wisdom, wanting to see how everything fits in its place. That they were these pagan philosophers who studied the great mysteries of the universe, of astronomy, of the wonders of the natural world. And they studied as well and sought after the mysteries of the human soul. The questions, the bigger questions that arise from the human soul. Why is there something rather than nothing? Why am I here? What's the purpose of my life? Why is there suffering in this world and in my life? What happens, if anything, after I die? that these were the greater questions that they were seeking after, and they were seeking after them by the light of reason, by the great power of the human mind. And when the great star arose, they sought after it, knowing the great sign that it meant, and they set off on a long journey. Seeking wisdom, they were led by the light of human reason so far to Jerusalem. And it was the light of revelation, the prophecies of Scripture, which led them the rest of the way. And what did they find when they were finally at the stable? They found wisdom incarnate. They found the child Jesus and his mother. But what they didn't find was just another little piece of the puzzle. They didn't even find the biggest, most central piece of the puzzle. Instead, what they found and what they beheld was the image of the invisible God. They beheld the whole image of what all the pieces of knowledge and all the seeking after of wisdom is meant to lead us to. They beheld God himself incarnate as a small child. And what was their response to this? What did they do? They didn't cry. Instead, they fell down in adoration before him. That the ultimate end that your human mind and the great power of the intellect that you have, the ultimate end of the human mind is adoration. It's to behold in wonder and in awe the God who is the answer to every question that's worth asking. The God who is the answer to the question that is every human life. And when the intellect and the mind comes before that, it falls down in adoration. And they opened before him the gifts that they had brought, these costly gifts. And what we give and what we bring to the Lord is probably not gold, frankincense, or myrrh, but we bring to him the gift that we have received, that greatest of gifts that we have received. And we give to the Lord the gift that he desires from you, which is your life. All of it. That's the greatest gift that you have. It's the most valuable one you have. And it's the gift he desires. That we come before the Lord, and the response of the mind is to fall down in adoration, and the response of the will is to offer the gift, the greatest one that we have, which is our whole lives to him. So this week, go before the Lord with the heart of a philosopher. Ask him the question. Ask yourself the question. What am I seeking for in life? Really? What am I searching for in life? Is it just one distraction after distraction after distraction? Am I so fixated on one little piece of knowledge that I can't see the forest for the trees? Ask that question and come before him in adoration. And he reveals there, and he will reveal the answer to the question that is every human life.